Rich Kimble, Bruce Pratt with us for Sports Lit 101. And our guest on the segment this week is the coordinator of creative writing at Salem State University. He's a fiction writer, a playwright, and a poet with a number of collections of his work, including Set in Stone, The 115 to Penn Station, and Jesus Was a Homeboy. We're pleased to be joined by Kevin Carey. Kevin, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Really, really enjoy your work. And I don't know, it's hard for me to pick out a favorite from the three collections that I've got. Although, I don't know, I might be tempted to go with Mother Told Me, because, you know, any poem that opens with "My mother once told me to keep my penis in my pants," that's good for me. That works still.
It's a true story.
Kevin, this is Bruce. One of the things that just attracted me to your poetry, I bought one collection and I immediately got, before I finished reading, I ordered the other two, was that there are a lot of New England poets that are rooted in place, but they're not always as universal as your poetry is. I mean, people think we're all Robert Frost or Emily Dickinson, but you had your poems, so whether they're Revere poems or Massachusetts poems or not of a specific place, have a great universal feel to them. Is that something that you really strive to do?
I don't know if I have that grand of an idea going in. It's I do kind of write what I know, and I have a friend that used to always say to me, "I may not be much, but I'm all I think about." And you know, that's that kind of holds true. When I waltz into a poem, it's usually something I know pretty well, or something I'm investigating that I want to get to know better. And I think you always hope as a writer that you can have that universal experience from what you're writing. But I think really for me, it doesn't begin that way. It begins with something that I'm really familiar with that I feel qualified to be able to write about. And so that's nice of you to say that. And I'm happy that some of the poems do that. And, you know, I guess at the end of the day, we're all people. We all experience similar things. And if you go from place to place with those experiences, you're bound to hit a nerve with somebody along the way, I think, you know.
The poem that really drove that sort of home to me was Coach. Both Rich and I have been high school coaches. I don't know that either of us ever coached basketball. Maybe Rich did. But in that poem, you hit it at a truism about what it is, what's good about being a coach, that I haven't seen in a poem before anywhere.
Thank you.
And I was wondering if that was one you might at some point, after we've talked a little more, be able to read. I know it's pretty long, so I wanted to give Perry
sure.
on that.
Yeah, well, I had 19 years with those kids, and it was a it wasn't a powerhouse basketball program by any means. So, you know, there were a lot of laughs that went along with, and when I stopped doing it, I missed it. And it just got too busy. You know, my life got too busy at the college to keep doing it. And it, as you know, both of you have coached, you know, the joy and the kind of commitment that can come with that job. And it's really rewarding at whatever level you do it at. You know, I wasn't coaching any future NBA stars for sure. But, you know, there were a lot of great moments that, you know, small moments in my life that I'll remember forever from that job. And it was a pleasure to do it, really.
Bruce mentioned Robert Frost. I don't know that Frost ever did anything to evoke the New England I grew up in and probably Bruce grew up in than the poem Witness. It's just a beautiful journey that instantly takes me back to what I grew up with here in New England.
Yeah, you know, it's funny that there was a kid, I went to a basketball camp one summer, and I had seen a kid on a playground yelling that, like backing himself out with the ball to 20, 25 feet, just looking around going, saying, "Can I get a witness?" you know, looking for people. I don't know if he made the shot or not. I can't remember. I just remember it being so funny of a setup, you know. And Yeah, that was a neighborhood poem for me too. You know, I think the older you get, the more that you are able to look back and at least have your own memories. I always joke that my family would pick up these books and say, "Wait a minute, you know, that didn't happen that way, but it happened that way for me." So, that's always a risk, right? That you you have a selective memory.
Well, but your Revere poems, I sent a couple of them on to two friends of mine, the great writer Roland Marullo, who's from Revere, and my friend Barry Ward, who grew up at 12 Campbell Avenue. And the first thing both of them said to me was, "Wow, I was home. I read those poems and I was home."
Oh, that's really sweet, especially from Roland. He's a great writer, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that he is. Would you be able to read a poem for us? And I was wondering, Rich, if maybe we could get him to read Witness, because I love that. Or maybe after the Celtics, one of the ones that aren't quite as long.
Sure. You want me to read Witness?
That'd be great. We'd love that.
I think Rich would too, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just pulling it up here.
I if everybody who's ever been by themselves shooting hoops and hearing that thud of the basketball on the concrete, that poem just really came home. And I'm a hockey guy.
Well, you know, it's the sports experience is what it is. I'm having trouble finding that poem. I'm sorry.
Page 35 in Jesus Was a Homeboy.
Yeah, I got it.
All right.
Witness. Maybe it's the first warm day of spring and I feel like the world is waking around me. Maybe I stop raking and watch the fat kid on his bike toss a newspaper to the driveway. And the guy next door waves to a pickup truck speeding by, loud rock and roll evaporating down the block. And maybe I hear a faint scream from a slightly open window and garlic cooking somewhere and tires rolling on the highway beyond, one set after another. And this next part I am certain of. There's a kid I once knew bouncing a basketball in the playground. He's 5 feet tall with an untucked Celtics jersey over his shorts to his knees. He's standing at half court looking toward the tilted half moon backboard, yelling over and over again, "Can I get a witness?"
Love that. We all know that kid.
Yeah,
absolutely. A few of them, yeah.
Another one of your poems, After the Celtics, which is on page 39, but I don't remember which book it's in because I didn't write it down.
Yeah, I get it.
Touches on a very sordid moment in Boston history and does so in a way that it just struck me to the core of how quickly that poem turns and how well it's fashioned. And I wonder if you could set it up and read it for us.
Yeah, well, what was it, 89, Charles Stewart murdered his pregnant wife and blamed it on a black guy. And the Boston cops went out and found a black guy. I forget his name now. It's just brought up, again, all the racial tension that still exists, I guess. And we all knew him. He was a Little League baseball coach for my nephew at one time. He played in a couple of the basketball leagues in the city, and he was just a guy that was around all the time. To me, I wasn't a close friend with him, but who were close friends with him, including his best man in his wedding that read this this eulogy at the funeral of his wife. And I mean, everybody was duped, you know. And I happen to know his sister, Shelley, who bartended at a place called Reardon. So this poem's about her and about that incident. You want me to read it?
Sure.
Yeah. Years later, her brother, the cops believed it and found one. But this night, I kissed her red lips in a barroom after the Celtics won the championship. I asked her to take a walk on the beach the next day. It never happened. When I heard what her brother did, staged the murder, then jumped off the Tobin Bridge, I thought of her, her nervous smile, her quick laugh. I wondered what would have happened if we had taken that walk. Would we have held hands, told jokes, talked about families, the way her brother was so quiet when they all got together for the holidays as if something was on his mind.
Wow.
That's really good.
Yeah, that was a strange time, man. It was really, and, you know, strange to think about. So many people's lives that I knew directly or indirectly were affected by that incident. And so it stuck with me.
We're talking with Kevin Carey here on Downtown. Kevin, in working with college students, what do you find is their level, at least coming in, of interest and even experience with poetry, and has it changed through the years?
Well, you know, I'm a pretty narrative poet, and I'm interested in telling a story, I think, as much as writing a poem. And so I think sometimes you can run into students that have a little different background with poetry, and that it has to start from some kind of other place, this otherworldly feel, these moments that are really sometimes come off kind of aloof. And just my poetry, what I'm after in poetry, is more grounded and more about detail and experience and place. And so I find myself often trying to pull them into a place where I get them to realize that their experience, their life, the things that have happened to them, that's the stuff that poetry's made of. It doesn't have to be this grand idea, this concept, this high concept. It can be just about you. And if you get that experience right, like we talked about in the beginning, then someone somewhere else is going to be able to relate to that and have this kind of universal connection about whatever it is, growing up or being sad or being victorious, you know, whatever things that happen in your life, will someone else will be able to relate to in the details and the common language of that experience. So I'm always trying to pull them in a little bit to the details.
Have you ever heard anything back from the subject of your wonderful poem, Poetry Snob?
No, I haven't, and I'm glad I haven't. And you know, that poem was really about me being the snob, but I know sometimes somebody might take it a little differently, and I hope that poet, if they were to ever read it, would realize that finger was pointed inward. So
right.
You know, I think those two questions Rich just asked sort of go together. I find when I teach poetry at the University of Maine, poetry writing, that you hit on two things there. One, I think if you start with contemporary poetry and work back instead of deciding you're going to start with Beowulf, you're have more luck. And also, if you let people know that you're not a poetry snob per se, right, then I think the kids feel more like they want to express themselves. If they think you don't decide they have to be Shakespeare from the start, things work out well. That's interesting the way you put those two things together, I think.
Yeah, and you know, I was late to the game, really. I was well past college and headed for a master's degree when I started to really look at poetry. And the poems that really did it for me at that moment in my life were these Philip Levine poems and these old Detroit poems about the inner city and about the factories. And, you know, they were always telling a story, and they were telling it in a way that was really detailed. And I said, wow, these are the kind of poems that I'm attracted to. And that really kind of led me into trying to write some of my own.
Well, we enjoy your work quite a bit, and it's wonderful for us to have the opportunity to talk with you this afternoon. Kevin, thank you so much for making time for us.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate it, really. It's been a blast.
It's Kevin Carey with us here on Downtown on Sports Lit 101.